Did you know that trying to figure God out intellectually is bad? Did you know that scientists say that we as human beings use 4% of our brain? That's it, 4%. And by the looks of some of us, even that's stretching it a little bit. But this little finite brain trying to figure out and put this infinite God in this box, in this framework. No, let God break through boxes and let him speak to us in a myriad of ways. Then you'll be hearing him all the time.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Have you ever prayed for something only to have God answer in a way that you least expected? You're just sitting there saying, whoa, I never saw that one coming. Well, God has a way of doing that, showing up in ways you would never expect. Here's Pastor Wayne from a series entitled, When God Shows Up, with a message entitled, When You Least Expect Him.
Today we want to talk about when God shows up, when we least expect him. And sometimes the reason we don't expect him to is because we're looking for other ways in which God should show up. We have a certain framework, a certain mindset that says, well, you got to show up in this way. And sometimes we say, unless there's incense or mystical kinds of ambiance or maybe a big sign, then if God doesn't come through that way, then he can't speak, because that's the only way he should come through. But you know, signs, even physical signs, are left for miscommunication. In fact, I was looking at some signs. These are real signs that it left a lot to your imagination. I got a chuckle out of them, so I thought I'd bring a couple to you. You got to check these out. These are real signs found in different areas of the city. This one was found in a laundromat. It says this, automatic washing machines, but please remove all your clothes when the light goes out. You don't get that. All right. I'll try another one. Maybe you guys will get this next one. This is a sign outside a secondhand shop. It says, we exchange anything. Bicycles, washing machines, etc. Why not bring your wife along and get a wonderful bargain? That's better. Thank you. Here's a repair shop door. It says, we can repair anything. Littler sign. But please knock hard on the door because the bell doesn't work. And I think here's my favorite one. This was spotted in a toilet in a London office building. It says this, toilet out of order, please use floor below. Okay, have it your way. But we want to talk about how God shows up in unexpected ways. Think of it with me in this way. Say you had a loved one that was, say, on a hike, and you had to get a message to that person. You had to get a message that was a life urgent kind of message, maybe about a medication that if he didn't take, you know, that his life would be gone, or just some just major, major life message it had to get to him. Well, if you had to get him that message and you loved him so much that you wanted to get him that message, wouldn't you try everything? You'd try a cell phone. If he doesn't have a cell phone, you'd send a search and rescue squad up there. And if that didn't work, you'd be sending out messages over the radio just in case he might have a transistor radio. You'd send homing pigeons. You'd send helicopters. You would go yourself in order to make sure that that person got the message, because you need to speak to that person because it's so important. In the same way, see God. God loves you so much that he has a life urgent message for you. And he's going to get to you any way that he can. He's going to use every means possible, whichever way we can hear. That's why in the Old Testament, he used a donkey with which to speak to Balaam and saved his life. He used a whale to change the whole ministry of Jonah and save his life and future. In the New Testament, God used a rooster with which he spoke to Peter. And if you listen carefully, the Bible says, you will hear the rivers clap their hands and the mountains shout for joy. See, God is going to use every means that he can to speak to you. Why? Because he loves you and his message is that important. But if we say, well, God will speak through this framework, if he doesn't speak through this prophet or this mystical person or this thing or this kind of way, if God doesn't speak through that way, then no, it's not God. I'm sorry, it's not the Lord. But God's going to use everything, isn't he? He's going to speak to us through a child. God's going to speak to us through a coworker, through a message or a sermon. God's going to speak to us through a friend, through counseling. God will even speak to me through my wife. That was a hard one for me to say. But isn't that true? God will speak to us through whichever means we will be open to. But it tells me that if I shrink my ears down to, well, if God doesn't speak to me through this way or that person, if I can't get to this person or if it doesn't happen, then I just completely shut out much of what God wants to say to me. Sometimes you say, well, if I don't figure out God, you know, if I don't understand or if he doesn't speak, then I won't hear him. Did you know that even trying to figure God out intellectually is bad? Did you know that scientists say that we as human beings use 4% of our brain? That's it, 4%. And by the looks of some of us, even that's stretching it a little bit. But this little finite brain trying to figure out and put this infinite God in this box, in this framework, you got to speak to me through this way, otherwise it's not you. You know, no, let God break through boxes and let him speak to us in a myriad of ways. Then you'll be hearing him all the time. And that's what we want to talk about today, to open up our heart so that God can speak to us. Our brain trying to figure him out is just so small. It's not worth much. Well, there is a projection that once said that by the year 3010, they will be able to even do transplants, brain transplants. So the story goes that a man wanted a brain transplant. So he was pricing brains. So he went to the doctor's office and there was three brains in these jars. It was a Japanese brain, $100,000. The Chinese brain, $100,000. And a Portuguese brain, $2.9 million. And he said to the doctor, how come there's such an outrageous price on this Portuguese brain? The doctor said, because it's never been used. Now, Mary is someone who comes to the tomb right after Jesus was resurrected. He died, was crucified, was buried. She, thinking that he was in the tomb, although he said, I'm going to rise on the third day, didn't believe it. She was skeptical. And so she went to the tomb with some spices. Now, we all have a tendency to be skeptical, which means putting God in a box. And a skeptic is just someone who's put God in a box, and whenever he breaks out of the box, we can't believe it. We want God to stay in this box so we can control him. And anything beyond that causes us to be skeptical. Well, she was a skeptic, but she was an innocent skeptic. She was a skeptic by innocent ignorance. Doubting Thomas was a skeptic by deliberate doubt. But the neat thing is God loves us so much, he reached both of them. Well, let's take a look at how skepticism can begin to develop in each of us. And we're going to take a look at some of the questions or the heart sets of a skeptic and see that maybe we're not just talking about Mary and Thomas today. Maybe we're talking about each of us. And we might find ourselves in Mary's place or in Thomas's place. Let me read to you what takes place. And then you'll notice under number one there, you'll see Mark 16:3, and we'll read that together. But let me read to you verses 1 and 2. Now when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now let's read together one of the first questions skeptics, including me and us, will ask. Ready? Go. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Would you write in your note there, the question is, who will roll away the stone? Often, that's a question that we will ask. We'll say, Lord, who's going to roll away the stone of this problem, of this project? Or you're asking my life to change or to ask for forgiveness or hear, oh, Lord, there's too big of a stone. My marriage is irretrievable. Lord, who's going to roll away that stone? I don't think my wife is willing or my husband is willing or my child. Lord, this is just a big, too big of a problem. And we focus on the stone. And we say, God, it's too big. I can't do it. I can't ask for forgiveness. It's just what I did is too big. And you watch what God's going to say. He's going to say, I'll show up if you'll just keep walking. Because if you will, and you are basing your obedience not on how big the stone is or whether or not you can move it by your own strength, but you're doing it based on what God has said, period. When that happens, guess what happens? Let's read the next verse together. Ready? Go. But when they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled. Isn't that great? See, God doesn't expect you to move the stone. It's too big for you, but if you will walk in obedience to Him and the assignment He's asked you to accomplish, He will take care of the stone. But often it's us and we become skeptical. God can't use me. I don't want to be involved here because, you know, you don't know my past. It's too big of a stone. You don't know that I don't have stuff together in my life. It's too big of a stone. Who's going to remove the stone? And the Lord is saying to you, and it may be a word from the Lord even to some of you today, and that is this. Stop putting your eyes on the stone because I can take care of that in a snap. Keep your eyes on what I've asked you to do and I'm prodding you to do. And you'll find when you arrive at that point, the stone will not be there. I will take care of that. But otherwise, we have this in our heart. Some of you might come to New Hope and say, you know, I don't want to give my heart to Christ because the stone. Well, what's a stone? Well, I've seen some Christians, you know, and they really don't have a lifestyle that's all that cracked up to be. That's a stone. Don't look at the stone. Look at the Lord. And He will remove the stones if you will follow Him. But skeptics always look at the rocks. And they're always going to be too big. I remember a skeptic coming and he was giving me a hard time about the church. You know, he said, New Hope this and that. And I know somebody, you know, and he named some of you. And he said, they go there. It's junk church. And, you know, I'm not only a pastor, I'm human. I was getting a little miffed at this guy. And he kept, yeah, you guys think this. And it started getting me ticked off, you know, and I'm. And he kept going on and on. And then he thought he had me, and he went like this. He said, "Let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. Is God so strong that He can make a rock so big that even He can't move it?" And I smiled and I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, He made your heart." Because you see, isn't that where most of our stones are? It's here. You see, if I don't think God can remove it, He won't. Because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. You see, the stones that are in my way are usually right here. It's in my own heart. That's why when God comes into your life, He doesn't want to just change a situation. He wants to change your heart. Because it's that heart that got you in the situation in the first place. But a lot of times we want God just to change the situation. Just leave me alone. Don't mess with me. Don't bother me. Just change the situation. And the Lord says, no, I love you too much to do that. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to remove that stone. And then I'll deal with the situation, but not until. So we find here that God shows up to remove the stone in our way. Now, Mary is in this situation, and she comes to the tomb, and even at that point, when the stone was removed away, she was still skeptical. Even when she looked in the tomb, and His body was gone, there was an angel there, and said, He is not here. He is risen, just as He said. Go tell the others. Still, she was skeptical. So the others left, and she begins to cry. She's upset. And as she's crying, listen to this, and I'll read it to you out of John 20. She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus. But she didn't what? She didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" And she thought he was the gardener. You know what she was saying? This is the gardener. Can't be God. This is just a gardener. God can't use this gardener. Would you write in your notes there another question or statement of a skeptic is this. This can't be God. No, that's my kid talking. It's my spouse talking. But what if God wants to speak through them? She thought it was a gardener. She turned to him and said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, just tell me where you've put him, and I'll go and get him." And Jesus answered and said, must have been that familiar voice, because he said, "Mary." And just then, she turned towards him and exclaimed, "Teacher." How often, I wonder, how often I've mistaken Jesus for a gardener and therefore dismissed him. The story is about a cobbler, a shoe repair man in years past, when in an evening vision he heard God speak to him and he said, "I will visit you tomorrow. Be ready." Well, he got up with a start and was so excited, he went to his shop and put a closed sign on the door, and he furiously began to sweep the shop, making it ready for this regal guest that would appear that day. When just then he heard a knock on the door, thinking that, wow, the king, the Lord himself, is arriving quite early. So he went to the door and he opened the door, but instead of the king, it was a lady, a single mom, whose child's shoes had been repaired by him a few weeks prior. She said, "Excuse me, I came to pick up my son's shoes that you had repaired." He said, no, I'm closed today. I'm expecting a very important person. Please. She said, no, I just need my son's shoes. He said, "Oh, well, wait right there." And he quickly got the shoes that had been repaired. And he said, "Here, it's $4.50. She said, "Oh, all I have is $3. He said, "It's $4.50. She said, "Oh, I can try to run back home and scrounge some more up." He said, "No, it's $4.50. I need it now." She said, "But I don't have it. This is all I have." Just then a sweep of compassion came over him. And he nodded his head and he said, "For you, though, it's $3 just today. That would be fine." She said, "Oh, thank you. He said, "Oh, okay, I got to go back." She said, "Oh, thank you. He said, "Go, shoo. Go home. Go home. This is a serious illustration. Come on. Go. And so he closed the door and quickly began to return to his sweeping when he heard another knock. And he thought, maybe this is the Lord. Maybe this is him. Quickly, he ran, opened the door, expecting this regal entourage when it was just two little girls selling cookies. He said, "What do you want?" They said, "We're selling cookies, just a nickel a bag. It's for a good cause. It's for a charitable cause." He said, "Go away. I've got someone very important coming." They said, "But sir, it's just a nickel. Please." And he thought, "Well, it is for a good cause, isn't it, honey? You wait right there." And he ran to the cash register and got two nickels and said, "Here, I'll take two, because maybe my invited guest who was about to come might like cookies with his tea." "Oh, thank you," the little girl said. "You're welcome. Have a wonderful day, and I hope you sell them all." Well, he closed the door and went back to sweeping when a third knock came. He thought, "This is it." And as he went out, he opened the door with great expectation, but it was broken and shattered, because before him was an old friend with a haggard face. "What's going on?" said the cobbler. "My son is wayward. He's run from home. And I yelled at him. And I feel so badly. I think I drove him away. I just need someone to talk to." "Well," he said, "I'd like to. Maybe tomorrow, friend." He said, "But I need help today. The cobbler said, you're right. When someone needs help, it cannot wait. Come, my friend, come in and have some tea and cookies. And he began to talk with his friend as he poured out his heart to the cobbler. And before he knew it, it was evening. It was time to close up and go to bed. So he wished his friend well. And his friend went away with hope again in his heart. But realizing that he must have been too busy, and the visitor maybe came and saw that he was busy and left, he felt so discouraged. He was praying, oh God, he said, I'm so sorry. I was so busy for you. I'm so sorry. Just then the Lord said, oh no. No, you didn't miss me. The cobbler said, oh yes, I did. No, said the Lord, no. I came 3 times. I came and visited you and that mother who needed the shoes for her son. And you were so gracious to me. And you bought those cookies from those girls for a charitable cause. And when I arrived as a friend of yours with haggard face, you served me the best of your tea and cookies. Because, he said, that which you do to the least of these my brethren, that which you do unto me. You see, sometimes we expect God just to show up in a certain way, but God is going to show up in unexpected ways. And if we'll keep our hearts open, we will see how God will speak to us and change our lives in unexpected ways. Because it may very well have been when the cobbler wanted to say, shoo, get away, girls, that his heart was harnessed and he thought, now wait a minute, how selfish I am. And he gave in to these young ladies, gave them what they needed, and was compassionate about it, and his life changed. And that's what God wanted to do. Wanted to change something of his brashness, or maybe about his selfishness. And maybe God was saying to him, would you put yourself aside for a little while? Some time ago, I was with a friend in the mainland, and he said, Wayne, I've been studying all the men and women used greatly by God. And in every case, all of them can point to one incident when God showed up in a miraculous vision or physical way and it transformed their life. He said, well, for me, he said of himself, I was driving down the highway knowing that God is calling me to California. I looked up and the cloud formation was in the state of California. My eyes got big. I said, wow, really? He said, yeah, and the city that I thought God was calling me to, right there in the cloud formation was a puka, right there where the city was. I said, wow. Now I'm going to share something that's kind of embarrassing to share, but I actually went to Kahana Park up there at the Kahana Point, and I went out on the beach, and I took my tent, and I said, I'm going to stay here all night till God shows up. Because I really want God to use me in some way. So I knelt on the sand and I prayed for God to show up. I waited and I looked out in the ocean for like porpoises or dolphins to start jumping up or something, you know. Nothing. I was waiting around. Every once in a while I hear something behind me. Oh, maybe it's God. No, not God. Okay, all right. I was waiting, looking at the sand. Maybe God was going to make a formation in the sand or something. Nothing. All night long, I cried and cried. I write about this in the Gems Along the Way about me just seeking God that night. And I waited and waited. And I was so depressed because God all night never showed up. I did find some cool puka shells, though, in the sand. It was really nice. But when it was all done, I thought, what a failure. God must not want to use me. But then later on in my devotions, I came across that. And I looked at it and he said, Wayne, if you needed for me to show up to you, and if you need to put your finger in my palm and your hand in my side, I would have shown that to you. But he said, but how much more blessed are those who don't require that, but still their lives are changed by choice and by faith. And I thought, oh God, that is so right. Thank you. You see, God showed up when nothing showed up. Did you know that God can speak through nothing? When you expect him to, nothing happens. He'll use that and speak to you about faith, about the change of your heart. I mean, God will use anything to get to you if you're willing to listen. So easy to flip into a skeptic or to become a disciple. The choice is yours. And my prayer is this week, you'll just be expecting God to speak through all kinds of means. And then you'll hear God say to you, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven."
You've just heard a message entitled, "When You Least Expect Him," by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.